Well, welcome everyone again. It's so good to see you. If you are visiting with us, my name's David. I lead the team here, a great team, and it's so exciting this Christmas time. It's amazing how fast December seems to go once you get into it. And it's actually this very week that we have our kids' carol service this Saturday. So be praying for Matt and all the team. Usually tons of the tadpoles and parents and toddler minnows guys come along to that. But everyone is welcome. That's this Saturday. And then it's next Sunday evening is our first candlelight. It's amazing and very exciting. So let's make the most of these days, as Tim and Matt were saying. It's so wonderful, isn't it, to see all that God is doing and can do as we look to Him. It was great yesterday at the Davigdor Christmas Fair. There was the CAP team had a stand there, and I want to thank the CAP team for all they're doing. And praying just beforehand in the offices here, the CAP offices, and there's hampers everywhere. It's a great picture. So thanks for all those who've been preparing hampers as well for different people in need in our city. Praise God for the opportunities of this time. But I want us to turn now to the scriptures, to a new little series. We're taking a little break over Christmas time from looking at Revelation. We'll pick it up again in the new year. But we're looking at Matthew's gospel in these next few weeks. And we're in Matthew chapter 1. And this series is called Christmas Dreams. So Matthew chapter 1. Just find it here as well. And it's page in the Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand. Thank you, Nat, and others who are just bringing them. Page 965 in those Bibles. Starts with these great words in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. Oh, there, it's up on the screen. Thank you so much, Sylvia. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Should we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word, even familiar words like these to many here. Lord, we pray, God, open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word this Christmas time, this day. So I ask for your help, and I ask for your help for each of us. We might see you more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes in December, I find myself praying, "God, please, would you just give me a fresh revelation of the wonder and the delight and the amazing thing that is the Christmas story," which I guess is a familiar story to many of us here. But, you know, it's so amazing and multifaceted, and this kind of phenomenal actual event in history like none other, that I believe there's always more of the Christmas story for us to discover and delight in and be amazed at and be challenged through. And I pray that however familiar you are with this story, or if you're not familiar at all with it, that this will be a Christmas of discovery, of wonder, and of delight. Last year, I had a time a bit like that when I was reading the Christmas story through with one of my daughters. And she noticed something that I'd actually never noticed in the Christmas story before. Isn't it great how God just speaks to us and teaches us things through children? And here's what my daughter noticed in the Christmas story. She said, "Isn't it amazing how God loves to speak to people in dreams?" And I thought, Christmas story? Dreams? And then I started noticing, yeah, we'd just read in the story I'd been reading with her a dream. And actually, the previous night, we'd read a dream. And I went back and I started looking, and in Matthew's gospel, in the first two chapters, do you know how many dreams are recorded? Well, we just read one. And then if you turn over to chapter 2, you get the dream of the Magi in verse 12. It says, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Two dreams. Oh, and then in actually verse 13, the next verse, it says this. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Three dreams. Wow. Oh, and then actually when you read on in verse 19, it says, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Oh, four dreams. Oh, and then you read on a few verses and it says this. But when he heard that Achaeus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And having been warned in a, guess what's coming next? In a dream. Five dreams in Matthew 1 and 2. I never noticed that before. You notice that? Must have read these first two chapters many times. And I thought, God, you're a God who speaks through dreams. So we're going to look at a little mini-series called Christmas Dreams. We're going to look at Matthew's Gospel and look at some of these dreams and what God was saying and doing through these dreams. And I want to just say right at the start that God does speak through dreams. One of the things you see as you read the Bible, and you can't kind of get away from this, is that, you know, God is speaking to people at times through the dreams they have. You think of, you know, when God came in a dream to Jacob, and he had that amazing dream of a kind of ladder, and angels going up and down this ladder, and you think of how God spoke to Joseph in a dream, many dreams. In fact, he was one who was able to interpret even the dreams of others, how God was speaking to them through dreams. And then you think of people like Solomon or Daniel. There's a number of people in the Old Testament who God speaks to through dreams. And then there's this verse in Joel chapter 2 verse 28 where there's a kind of prophetic word that comes to Joel that as we get into the New Testament, as that something's going to come, someone's going to come. And it's like this dream thing is not just going to be a few, but there's going to be way more dreams. And Peter the apostle speaks on the day of Pentecost, and this is what he says. He said, in the last days, this is a quote from Joel, he picks up on it, and he's kind of saying, these last days that Joel was speaking about, they're happening right now. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. It's the sense of that God's going to be speaking through visions and dreams and at work in ways by his spirit as we come into these days that the death, resurrection and ascension of Jesus kind of inaugurated the last days. And I think it's not just probably old men who dream dreams. I think the sense is that just God's going to be speaking. And maybe you're someone who wonders from time to time, hey, dream I've had. I wonder, could God be trying to say something to me through that? And I want to say, don't rule them out. God may be trying to speak to folks in the church through dreams. God speaks to people around the world. At this time, a lot in the Muslim world. We heard last week some testimonies of people's lives, I mean, come to Christ. But if you start talking to those who are ministering in the Muslim world, so often what they're discovering is that Jesus has been revealing himself to people in dreams. And that those people have then been hungry to meet other Christians to find out more. God speaks through dreams. But also, the thing we need to watch is that actually the Bible is very clear that also we just have random dreams. I bet you have random dreams at times. And actually, sometimes we have to watch it that we don't kind of make more of our dreams than not. So here's a Jeremiah 23 where God gives a kind of warning. He says, I've heard that what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream. I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name through the Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream. Yeah, if you feel that there's maybe something, God's speaking to you through a dream, tell it. But let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? And here even these, right early on in Jeremiah, there's a great little word there about dreams. It says, okay, if you've got a dream and you sense it might be God, come and weigh it maybe with others, but weigh it particularly with scripture, with God's word. This thing that's like a rock, this is the way we know God speaks to us. And what's wonderful is in scripture, we actually have some dreams recorded that we know are God's way. So I encourage us, let's be open and sensitive to how God might be speaking to us. Let's bring some of those things and weigh them. But let's too come and weigh them against scripture. And let's allow them to point us to the Lord. So I want to talk this morning about this dream of Joseph's. And it's there recorded for us in Matthew chapter 2. In verse 20 it says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. But here's the thing, just before this, in the first two verses, it's like Joseph's been having a kind of a waking dream. He's kind of been longing for something. He's had a kind of daydream, a thought in his mind, something not when he's asleep, but when he's awake. And we have those kind of dreams as well, don't we? We have kind of things that are there that are longings for us. Dreams of change. And that's where I want us to start this morning, dreaming of a change. Because Joseph, right at the start in our reading, he's dreaming of a change. I think lots of people in our time, even this week and this Christmas time, yeah, they're kind of dreaming of a change. You know, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. You're thinking, oh, wouldn't it be great? The kids are probably thinking, if there was Christmas with snow. You know, it kind of, it's a waking kind of dream, a longing. The dictionary definition sometimes kind of puts it in a kind of fanciful thought of the future. Or maybe you're thinking, oh, after Christmas, then I get a break. And you've got this kind of dream picture in your mind of a few days off. Sometimes it's not always like the dream, is it? And actually, sometimes those kind of dreams, those longings, those waking dreams can be quite deep and real and profound. And when they kind of don't work out, there's a kind of deep sadness. There's a bit in a Les Miserables when there's a song, you know, I dreamed a dream in times gone by. You know, this woman pouring out a heart of her, you know, that I dreamed this man would come to help her. And, you know, the sense that that dream just didn't work out. There's this line, very moving line, where I had a dream my life would be so very different from this hell I'm living. You know, people are living in just awful situations in our world. People are maybe longing for something. Something that's just different. Their life is it's unspeakable. And there are those who see some of those pains that others are going through and say, you know what, hey, we got a dream of something changing here, a dream of how things could be different. Think of Martin Luther, who saw the kind of racial segregation and said, you know, I have a dream that there could be something different here, a change in the way people live and work together. And these kind of waking dreams is what I want us to start looking at. And this kind of longing that we have that something will change. And even Joseph here, he's got a dream of a change, something different in his circumstances. He says here in Matthew chapter 2 and Matthew 1, it's quite a poignant bit if you've ever sort of really imagined yourself into the story. You see, because Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. And in that custom of that time, being pledged to be married was like legally being married, except you didn't live together as husband and wife. And when they were pledged to be married, and before they came together, she was found, it says in verse 18, to be with child by the Holy Spirit. She's pregnant. And Joseph knows he's not the dad. What a mess. You can imagine the emotions, the kind of anger, the sense of betrayal, the sense of confusion, the kind of, what? What am I to do? What is she to do? How did we get in this situation? She tries to tell him his story. He goes, are you nuts? It doesn't work like that, Mary. Fears, anger rise up within him. But also it says here, Joseph was a righteous man. says he was a good man, and there seems to be something in Joseph which wasn't just thinking of himself here, but he was concerned for Mary. It says here, because Joseph was a righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He was kind of not just concerned about this whole situation and a sense of what a mess, but there was something that was he was concerned for Mary. It was like he didn't want her to be exposed. And there was often in our situations, we can be fearful, not just for ourselves, but for others, fearful of what the future might bring, fearful of being exposed. And as we've been talking in recent weeks as a church, those fears can sometimes run deep. Fear of failure, of a rejection, or of maybe fear of being exposed to, what's really going on. And Joseph's got those fears, not just for himself, but even for others. And so Joseph thinks, you know what? I think would help here is if we change the circumstance. If we weren't pledged to be married anymore, if we could change that, then it would probably be a bit better. And, you know, divorce is a really tough thing, but for Joseph, he felt that would probably be a better scenario than going ahead with this. And, you know, we can relate to that, can't we? We know what it is to have times, I don't know what it is for you, where you just think, you know what, this situation is such a mess. If I could just change the situation. If we could get out of here. If we could do something different. Maybe it's a job you're in at the moment. You're thinking, you know what, this job is just a nightmare. Maybe you're getting so much pressure, even as it comes into Christmas, that you're starting thinking, New Year, I've got to get out of this job. Or maybe for you, it's like Joseph. It's actually, you've got to get out of a relationship. Or maybe if for you it's that you're not in a relationship, you're thinking, if I could just get in a relationship, that would sort everything out. Or maybe it's the holiday thing. Or maybe it's actually just that feeling of being trapped in some situation. I know when I was a kid, there was a program on telly called Saved by the Bell. And there was this sense of that every kid could relate to, that you're in this classroom, and whether it's your homework's just about to be checked and you haven't done it, or maybe it's just been a really boring lesson, and you're just waiting for your circumstances to change, for this bell to ring, and it'd be like, phew, I'm free. Are you waiting for a change, dreaming of a change in your circumstances at the moment? Something to happen. Some change that enables you to feel, yeah, I've been rescued. Because this is no longer there, or that's no longer there, or, you know, that problem's kind of gone. Or that's what Joseph was dreaming of. And actually for Joseph, he kind of thought, you know what? I'm going to try this. I've got a plan in my mind here. It says here at the end of verse 19, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He was a good man. He didn't want to do that kind of publicly with a big fraud. He had in mind, he thought, this is a good plan. I'm sure God's going to like this plan. He was a righteous man. He wanted to please God. And, but this was something he could do. I mean, that's a very natural reaction to a problem, isn't it? To think, well, what can we do? Or maybe what can someone else do it? And we hope maybe God's going to bless those plans. And, maybe you're even at the moment, you're forming a plan. And you kind of hope that maybe God's going to bless it, but it's just your plan, or it's a plan for someone else to, maybe you're looking to your boss for the solution. Oh, you know, I hope my boss sorts this out in the new year, or I hope the government clear up the mess and we're looking to be saved by an act of man, whether it's ourselves or someone else. Again, that's a very natural thing to do. It's a way we're often wired up, isn't it? We look in the newspaper and it's full of, you know, if you want a better Christmas, here's how to do it. If you want a better holiday, here's how to do it. If you want a better sex life, here's how to get it. If you want a better meal at Christmas, here's how to prepare it. It's a kind of the sense of you can know something of, your Christmas being rescued, or your job being rescued by what you do or what you go to. I even saw it in the dentist this week when I had to get my something done with my teeth. And that's why I was at the dentist, obviously. But there was this little sign, and it said this. I got to read it to you so I get it right. Are you dreaming of a white Christmas? It said. Ask at reception for our current teeth whitening offers. I just looked at that, I thought, well, I've been thinking about this mess, and I thought, well, that's it, isn't it? You know, it's like, you dreaming of a white Christmas, you dreaming something you'd like to change. Well, here's something you can do. Ask at reception, you do it, get your teeth whitened, and then they kind of, and then everything will be great. We laugh, but it's what we look for. We dream of change and we think that if our circumstances could just change, if we could maybe make that change or someone else, then hey, it's all going to be sorted. But you know, what we see here is that Joseph has at this point an actual dream. It's like God says, whoa, Joseph, you go to sleep. I'll speak into this situation. And Joseph, as God speaks, he's changed. It's not this next bit that is necessarily dreaming of a change. Now what's going to happen is Joseph's going to be changed by a dream. And my prayer this morning is that we'll be changed as we look in just to this familiar words of this dream, that there'll be a change that happens in us. Because so often what we're thinking is that we're going to be saved by a change in our circumstances. But actually what we see in this dream is that we're saved by a change in us. That God comes and speaks to Joseph, and he says this, but after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid. There had been fear in him. And as we've been saying, so often there can be fear in us. And this word comes, hey, it's not about changing this circumstance. You know, difficult though it is, Joseph, God is in the difficult circumstance. In fact, if Joseph had gone through with this idea of his, this kind of plan, boy, would he have missed out on God working in phenomenal ways through the situation that he thought was so difficult. You see, God is so often in the tough things, and what he wants to do is change us. And yes, many of those circumstances need change, and one day they will be changed. Praise God. Praise God that things that aren't right in our world, the sort of poverty and the disease and death and fighting, all those things, they will be changed. Praise God, God's going to change them. And he is changing them. And I think even today of hearing like the Archbishop say, you know, hunger in our nation, it's not right. It's not right. Should stir us. But you know, if it's going to change, we need to change. And God has changed. His program for change starts with people. Starts with us discovering that in our difficulties, in our stressful work, in our difficult relationships, our neighbors, that whatever it is, that God can say, hey, look, I want to work in this. I want to work in you first. Don't be afraid, Joseph, because actually the Holy Spirit's up to something here. God is always at work around us, folks, far more than we realize. Open your eyes, listen. Saved by God changing us from fear to faith, from maybe carrying burdens to being those that are liberated to be free to serve. And who's the one who brings that change? It's not actually us. It's not even other people who we so often look to and think, oh, they're going to be the answer. Saved by an act of God. God's the Savior. He comes and speaks into this situation. He says, look, here's this word. Look, Mary's going to have a son and you're going to give him the name Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. God comes and speaks, and as he speaks, kind of things, the whole kind of way that Joseph's been seeing this problem or the situation changes. And I find for myself, often I can be kind of, you know, stressing about something or, you know, looking at a problem or circumstances I don't like. And so often the change begins in me when I just stop and listen to God. Allow him to speak into the situation. Realize that he wants to remind me again that actually his name is Jesus. He's the Savior. Name like no other name. The name that shines. The name that just brings transformation into situations and people. He's the one who will save his people from their sins. His name Jesus actually means Savior, the God who saves. He saves his people from their sins. If there's something that's a problem in what you've done or in this week or in this past year or even in your life and you still feel like you're carrying the burden of that guilt, then bring it to Jesus. He's the Savior, the one who forgives, the one who cleanses, the one who delivers. If there's something even today you just need to come and say, Jesus, I made a mess of this. Our sin is what we've been thinking about in recent weeks is when we're just not trusting God, not living by faith. Maybe just trusting in our own strength or the something else. And Jesus says, hey, bring that mess. Let me forgive. Let me cleanse. Let me help you know that there doesn't need to be this distance between you and me. You see, sin separates us from God. Not from his presence. He's here. He's with us all the time. But from us experiencing and delighting and enjoying his presence. So what happens for me is when I know that Jesus is the Savior who takes away my sin, then I read this next bit and I see that it's massively connected. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when I know my sin is gone, I can go, you know what, God, you're with me. And when I stop and listen and allow him to remind me that he's with me, like in that very precious moment when we were just pausing as we were worshiping and celebrating that God's with us. Jesus, we enthrone you as we worship you. In that moment, don't you think, you know what? See, the problems look very small. When King Jesus, the God, the one who Tim was saying at the start, can, you know, nothing's impossible with him. And salvation, folks, being saved is knowing that God has come to be with us. It's like, it's okay, he's here. Not just here in this room, but as you go, he's going to be with you because he's Emmanuel. Whatever you're facing tomorrow, he's with you in it. Whatever you're facing this Christmas time, he's with you in it. And for me, I know that when I get that clear, everything's different. Everything's different. There's hope. There's joy. Even whatever dark situation you're in, I've seen this even at different places around the world, when people discover that God's with them in the mess. You know, though, you know, so often people feel like they're living in a kind of hell. And yet I was thinking about this hymn where it talks about Jesus, the name of high over all. And it says of Jesus, Jesus, the name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given. He scatters all their guilty fear and it turns their hell to heaven. Why? Because the presence of God is what is the best thing about heaven. Amen? And so whatever mess, whatever brokenness, to know that God's with us in it is like the kingdom of heaven breaking in. It's like, this is going to be good. Yeah, it might still have things that need fixing and changing, but now God's with us in it. And the knowledge of that causes faith to rise, courage to come, and hope. And so you see that in Joseph. He does what the angel says. Boy, that must have been difficult. But he trusts. Trusts that God's with them. That the Holy Spirit's at work. And brothers and sisters, in these days, my longing, my prayer is that all of us will capture again whatever you're facing. And I know some of the different needs that are going on in the life of the church and different people's pain and brokenness. And my heart just aches for some of what people are going through right now. And there's probably tons of stuff I'm not even aware of. Things that maybe are too even heavy that you've maybe not even shared. But I want to say this morning. There's good news. There's good news for you and I. And that is that Jesus the Savior has come. He's with you in your pain. He's with you in what you're going through. So one of my daughters said the other day on the way to school, you know what the best Christmas present is? The presence of Jesus. She kind of smiled like she was the first person to ever think of it like that. But you know what? That made it all the more special because it ministered to me massively. I said, that's exactly right. The presence of Jesus. I don't know what present you're hoping for this Christmas. Probably if you've got kids or grandkids, you're not so much worried about what you get as what they get. But usually there's a longing that something in the new year might be different. Something might change. But I tell you what's the best present you could get this time of year. It's a reminder again, an awareness again, that God the Almighty is with you. His presence is with us. I remember thinking some time back as I was thinking about sharing this Christmas message with others that, you know, it's a message not about what you need to do or what you need to buy or even if something you need to add to your to-do list this Christmas. That's not the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is something about what God has done for you and I. He's come to save us, to set us free, free from guilt and fear. He's come to be with us. That is good news. And it's Jesus and what he's done on the cross that makes that all so wonderfully possible. So we're going to come and very tangibly remember that as we gather around the communion table now. We're going to invite the band to come up and they're going to just lead us in a simple song of Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the one who's the name above all names. But even just as we prepare for that, I just want us to pause and in this moment just recognize he's here again. He's the Savior, whatever you're facing. He's the answer above all else. So Lord, we just pause in your presence. In your presence that changes everything. Jesus, thank you that you have come to be with us and never leave us. Thank you that we can bring whatever problems, challenges, sin, failure, bring those afresh to you. Lord, that's what we want to do as we come to this table. We don't just want to come to it another part of our service. We want to come to the living God. Come to Jesus. Recognizing, Lord, that you, the one who came to us, we might be forgiven, that we might be free. We might have faith, not fear. So in this moment, just in this time as we just even prepare to sing again, why not pray, God, open my eyes to see you more this Christmas time. Open my heart to know that you're here. Always here.